I titled this message, The Drama of the First Gospel, or the First Missions Outreach that I know of in Capernaum, all right? Now, I'm over here because there's five sets of actors in this drama, okay? Can you say this with me? Here's the first act. Are you ready? The helpless. That's very good. Okay. I thought I was in a Baptist church, not Presbyterian. Helpless.
Helpless.
There we go. This part of the stage, helper. Now, I'll come here, be a little easier. Helper. All right. Over here on this side, there's a lot of people over here. This side's heavier than this side, but it's not heavier. Hinderer. Now say it like you're from Southern Indiana. West Virginia, they say hinderer. You just say hinderer. You ready? Ready?
Hinderer.
All right, we got the helpless, got the helpers, got the hinderers. Now, here we have the healer. We can't play that part, okay? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about him. Over here, I'm not going to touch that. She goes, oh, no. I touched one once in another church. I thought that was the Holy Grail, a good night. You ready?
It's okay. She breaks.
You picked up on that too, didn't you? Yeah. Does all those runs, like, okay, covers up the mistakes. But anyway, you don't make mistakes. How would I know? I got kicked out of choir in the sixth grade. Just got out of therapy last week. So here we go. Try this once. It won't hurt you. The happy.
Happy. The happy. We're happy.
It's not a sin to be happy. In the King James Independent Bible-Believing Baptist Church. In fact, we're supposed to be. Five sets of characters. You play one of four, or maybe two of four, maybe three of four. You can't play all five, but you could be in part of all four of these. And I've been in some of these. There's the helpless. There's the helper. There's the hinderer. There's the healer. And over here is the happy. All right. So now we're going to take a look at this. What's this got to do with missions? And Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's got a lot to do with missions. I want you to catch with me in Mark chapter 2. We'll get right into it. Now, tonight, I got a 5-minute video. Good night. Come see this thing. We're going to have it all ready for you, Lord willing. And then I'll preach, and we'll get out of here before midnight. Amen. How about 9 o'clock? How about 8? What time do we start, preacher? Okay, if you're here at 8, you're here by yourself. But anyway, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Not long ago. Did you get that? The word, preaching the word. Good night, shelling corn, laying back a little bit. I don't think Jesus had to be a shouter, but he would be direct. He also had a sense of humor, all right? I want you to catch this. Verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. Now, the disease palsy is where the mind, the head, and the twitch muscles are separated. People are usually born this way. I had one on my bus route in Chicagoland area. I'll be preaching in Philly next Sunday, and where I'm preaching, the last time I was there, maybe 9 years ago, I was preaching for them on a Sunday morning, and a guy come in a wheelchair. And the boy in that wheelchair, he could not talk. And his neck muscles were disconnected from the brain. Smart. All he could do was that. That's all he could do. But he could type. Get that one right hand, and I was going to preach this message, you know. I didn't want to embarrass him. And I asked his mom, I won't do it as an illustration. And he said, no, go ahead. It was his computer talking to me. He's listening, typing down the answer as I asked it. I go, that is great. He said, yeah, cool beans. And we've been friends ever since. He's a good kid. Got baptized in a wheelchair. Bethel Baptist Church, South Fishtown, Philadelphia. Just rolled that chair over backwards, put him under water, brought him right back up. The chair got baptized, amen. Verse 4 says, and when they could not come to him, Christ, for the press, they, the four boys, young men, uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the sick, the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whoa. Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the word is preaching the word, and the word's laying into it. Didn't have to say anything. He knows what every thought, every intent of the heart. You make every excuse you want. But he knows. I got another message I preached at a camp called God Knows You. And it gets right in there on the thought. He knows you. When it comes to missions, he knows what your heart is. As a church, he knows what your heart is. And this church has a heart for missions. It has a heart for people. I want you to understand, verse 9 says, whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. Y'all thinking, I ain't got any right to save this boy from his sins. Hey, son, what's this? Stand up, pick up your bed and go. Them four boys looking through that hole up there. Whoa. Hear that? Footsteps on the roof. The boys walking out carrying a bed. The other four forget the ladder. They jump off the top of that house, hit that ground and roll, pick him up and bounce him around like a ping pong ball, rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. It says they all were what? Amazed. Verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up the bed and go thy way in thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all. And before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. First time, church service. First time they had somebody bring him to church. It wasn't a bus. They carried him there in a cot. Got on top of that roof, took that roof apart because of the preaching that was taking place. They couldn't get him down to where Jesus was. Somehow, somewhere, some way, those boys had heard Jesus at Capernaum the first time. Now he's coming this time. They'd been saved. He had changed their lives. They brought that boy there not to get him healed, but to get him saved. Isn't that amazing stuff? And you know, when this is taking place, and when it comes to missions and it comes to us, how does God want us to be part of this? We have the helpless, we got the helpers, we got the hinderers, we got the healer and the happy. As we go through this today, ask where you are in this drama, as this unfolds before us. You know, the world needs help. What town am I in? This is not Jacksonville. What town is this, Jacksonville? I travel a lot, preach. I'm in 44 weeks of meetings this year. And that doesn't include Australia and New Guinea. And I'll be spending more time over there. I want to tell you this. What I'm preaching today is universal for the whole world. The only difference in New Guinea, Australia, Mexico, Brazil, Canada, where have I been? Uganda, this last year and stuff in my preachings, is a skin color and accent. Everything else is the same. Amen. Well, we can get some worms over there in Uganda. You can't get here. I don't want you to understand that it's all the same. Now, I want to encourage you this morning as a church and your emphasis on missions. I want you to understand that missions is about the helpless, number one. Let's take a look at the helpless individual here. Join me in Mark chapter 2. If you look with me, please, in verse 3. The Bible says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. This young man could not walk. Maybe his talk was affected. He had the right mind. You study this palsy disease, this sickness. It's not that they're crippled. It's disconnected. And they can't do anything about it. I had one on my bus route, and this young man I just talked about over in Philadelphia seven, eight years ago, the mom said that everything's good. He just can't talk right. And so he can hear, but it's better for this machine to type it. And he types it. I mean, it didn't know here, but he had control here. I've seen others where they had control when they talked and control here, but couldn't control their legs. The guy on my bus route, he couldn't control his legs. He'd be singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. One leg would shoot up and hit you in the face if you weren't watching it. You know, and he's about 8, 9 years old, and he loved the Lord. He was saved. And we had to tie him to the front of the bus, not on the outside, but on the inside. And we took the front seat out. We laid him back, and we brought him on a furniture mover, a two-wheeled cart. Because if you didn't keep him straight, he's all over the place. And so his mom had it built for him, had a little seat on it. We had him taped in here and had a strap here and had a strap here and a strap here. Man, it was great. You know, everything's fantastic. But I would take him to church like that, and we would strap that on the front, and he'd be going down, and he'd be singing that song on the buses and stuff. And about the third week in, they come and got me. And they say he's got to go to the restroom. Never thought about that. My goodness, don't ever try that unless you got help. He beat me to death. And praise God, we had changes of clothes at that church. Amen. Come prepared. I'm saying all this to say, God is after the helpless. And in a church like this, there could be someone sitting here today without Jesus Christ in their hearts. He had one saved during the banquet the other night. I would be remiss and wrong as a missionary, as a church planter. My 50th year of ministry starts June 7th of this next year, or 2025. Do you know there is none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Man. And now get this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done? Well, yeah, I didn't ask you if you've been to church. I didn't ask you if you're in the ministry. Do you recall the day? Well, I don't have the exact date. Do you recall the time? The who? The where? No, this epiphany came over me. No, doesn't work like that. I'm telling you what. Jesus is in there preaching. The house is full. They bring their young friend there. They carry him in a cot. They want to get him in there to get him saved, but there was no room in there. And that boy is absolutely helpless. He could not get himself to that church service. You know, my wife and I went to New Guinea. We were there a month. We're getting ready to start a church. We haven't done our laundry. In fact, it's talking back to us by this time. And so we found a laundromat about an hour, about 10 minutes from our house. It takes an hour to walk it, but we drove it. My wife is blonde-haired, blue eyes, loves the Lord, and she's oblivious to danger, but not me. And I got one eye all the time. And I had an old hickory butcher knife. Couldn't have a gun in the country. I had my back pocket and 4 or 5 bags of dirty clothes, and we went to the laundromat, you got to understand, I'm the only white guy, and my wife's a white, or Talbada. She is white, blonde-haired, blue eyes, Swedish type. I mean, she's like those lights. There's no, I mean, and the New Guineans just look at her. They come to church just to see her, you know. And I would take it from there, amen. And so she's getting ready to do the laundry, and I'm watching for the bandits. Back in those days, I was a half inch taller and 10 pounds heavier. Still a little pipsqueak, but I'm ready to defend her. In the laundromat walked this woman. She looked at me, and she had a little girl with her, about 8 years old. I looked at that little girl, and I'd been practicing the language to say good morning or hello in my language. Adabadamana! Now, all Americans, they go up about 3 octaves when they change language. It's crazy. We're the only people in the world does that. Adabadamana! She looked at me and said, Adabadamana. I said, good morning. I said, Laubadaharia. Hey, how are you doing? Me, Laubadaharia. I'm doing good. All right. Then she said something in her language. I am a dumb American. That's all I know. She looked at me and said, well, let's go to English. I speak perfect English. Now, wait a minute. And God's at work. Her name is Noinoi, N-O-I-N-O-I. And I said, I'm Pastor Dan, and this is my wife, and we're doing the laundry. And so they're bringing their laundry in, and I'm witnessing to her and talking to her mom. And make a long story short, her mom and her needed a ride back to their village called Biruni. And so so I said, well, I'll just take his about 8 miles away, jump in my truck, and we took him back. And her grandfather was the head man in that village. And man, getting ready to start a ministry. I mean, God brought him to me in that laundromat. And the first thing I asked Noi Noi, do you know how to get to heaven? She says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so we started talking, and she got saved and led her to Christ that afternoon there at the village underneath her house. And her grandfather's the head village chief, and about 5,000 people in that area and on that little island and on that coastal town. And so I got ready to leave, and her dad, her grandfather said, Talbada, you're welcome to come back. And he said, come here, let me show you. He can't speak English. Noi Noi's translating. He takes me over under his house, and there are 10 pews that big and a pulpit about a third that size. The Catholic Church tried to start a church in there the year before. He told them not to come, and they come, and he kicked them off and kept that as trophies. We could be onto something good here. Are you listening? Noi Noi was absolutely helpless when I met her at the laundromat. By the time I got done that day, she was saved. Within a month, her mother was saved. We take one van in there per Sunday. That would make 5 trips back and forth to our church. And in its heyday, it was taking 100 people from that village to our church every Sunday morning. Like a commuter bus. Kids came first, parents came second. Man, did God open that thing up. But Noi Noi's grandfather would never come to church. He would never get saved. Over the process of time, over 100 people trusted Christ in that village. When we got there, they were helpless. And when we gave them the gospel, we become the helpers. All God's people said, hey, DeLong, that's one of our ministries. Yeah, it is. You didn't know about all that. So we come to our second point. If you're without Christ today, you're in that helpless group. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you what God wants you to do. Second group is called the helpers. Why did Christ save this young man? Secondly, why did he heal him? Look at verse 5, you'll see the answer. And when Jesus saw their faith, the helpers. He saw their faith. You know, the helpers were the 4 people. I believe they were young men from that village. I believe one of them was related to the owner of the house because it doesn't show where they got permission. They just took the top off of that house. Are you kidding me? All right. And it took some forethought. And why the church service is going on. Is there a Lowe's Hardware close to here? Okay. So what's your name? Nathan, we need to get on top of the roof. Could you get me a pay for a ladder today? Can you? Okay. What's your name? Brian, could you buy a little cot for us that you know, we can carry? Can you get one? Okay. Get a Lowe's, get a tent, put some poles together, use your brain, you know. And pizza guy, what I want you to do, can you get us some duct tape? Can you do that? All right. And what's your name? Isaac, I want you to go buy us a generator because I'm not going to do anything by hand. All right. All right. Preacher, I want you to get a saw, a power saw. Okay. And Bob's in here. I want him to get a tarp so we can I need some buckets. Okay. Need a couple of ropes. So we're going to take that roof apart. Most roofs in those days were about that thick and they were flat with a veranda around the top about this height. And there was no stairs from the outside and there was no stairs from the inside. You had to keep the ladder inside to go up on the outside. Okay, how many understand that? Okay, we got that going on. So these boys are going to get all this stuff together. Now they didn't have this stuff back then, but the Bible says, if you know what it says, and they broke up. They just didn't take a little tarp off or remove a tent top. They broke that roof up, amen. And there's people sitting inside. Notice where does it say where that thing was, service was messed up or stopped. The word was preaching and teaching the word. Them boys are lowering him down through that ceiling. And watch this. Christ saw their faith, saw their involvement, and he went to work. Missions. That's what it is. Going to work. You know, if I can encourage you with this thought that as you get into missions and you are in missions, tonight we'll deal about being called into missions. You know, these 4 boys made it happen. They made it happen. And they didn't ask Jesus for permission. They knew him. He knew who they were. When he saw their faith, he understood. And they lower that boy, I think, down feet first so he can see Jesus. I think when he hits the floor, sons, thy sins will be forgiven thee. Man, aren't you glad you're helping people instead of hindering people? I used a term this morning, people, preacher, a lot of churches don't gospel. They're not gospeling anymore. The buses are too expensive. Bus kids are too dirty. They'll mess up the songbooks. They'll tear this up. They'll tear that. Are you kidding me? You go to the mission field like me and you start from zero, you'll take anything that breathes. And I did. Amen. I had people even in a young church. You think those people really need to be in here? They got tattoos. That one's got a hangover. About five of them got hangovers. They're my neighbors. They were drunk all weekend. I made them come or told God's going to judge them. They bring in a gallon of milk, preacher. They sit down beside them. I sobers them up quick. I didn't know that. I went to Australia. Wow. God loves the unlovely. Amen. God wants us to reach the lost and the polished. But I'll take that lost, the halt and the maimed and the blind and even the cripples. Man, God sees your faith. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, when you give to missions, there's three ways to give to missions. Financially, there is prayerfully and emotionally. All right? And you can check the Bible, that's how you give. God said this is going to be added to your account. It's not money. How many of you folks wish when you're having a bad day, you're emotionally more stronger than you were. You had somebody in your cage with you, praying for you, helping you. Who needs one of those people? Who needs one of those Timothys? Who needs one of those Tituses? Now, you understand what's going on here. These helpers brought an unsaved boy to Jesus. It's good stuff. Then we get over here. We all don't want to be in this part. We got the helpless, got the helpers, man. And that boy got saved. Then we have the hinderers. Look at verse 6. The Bible says in our text, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Now, what was that meaning? Well, is it worth it? What are they doing? Did you see the roof they tore up? What did that ladder cost? What did that soul cost? What does this, what is that? What is a, can I say this? What is a soul worth? You listen carefully. My wife, as we went there to that village, and we started going there every week, we'd go from house to house to house. And Sandy and my Noi Noi become really good friends. And Noi was about 13, 14, and we'd been going there a little over 4 years every Saturday. Noi Noi's grandfather would never come to church. I was the only man allowed, only God man, only Taubata, that's white lard, that was allowed in the village as a preacher or a minister. No other church could go in there. Not a bad thing, you know. And so I would go to him, but he would never come. My wife, the fourth week that she knew them, for 4 years, it was 48 months and a couple of weeks, she every Saturday would take him a Sunday school lesson for a second or fourth grade student level. For him to fill out. He would fill it out. Noi Noi translate. 10 questions. And they would trade papers every Saturday. And my wife was praying for him to come. But he never came. She wanted him to come. But he wouldn't. You know. It's not if they get saved or not. But it's important. But it's that you witness to them. And sometimes it gets discouraging. You take those roofs apart, you get people involved, and no one gets saved. But the Bible says we can't make them get saved. We take them to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he said, I did not come here to condemn you, but to seek and save that which was lost. The bottom line is don't get ants. A lot of Baptists have ants. You know what ants are? A-N-T-S, another negative thought center. Preacher, I bought a dozen steel ants a year ago, and I've been giving them out to different pastors that I travel to. Because sometimes they'll complain to me, and I say, hey, you need this more than I do. You know? Hey, how many of you folks have ever met an independent Baptist person that will get negative? this being a preacher? Ants. How many always think the best about everything? Yeah, you got ants. Be careful. And these here, these schemers, these scribes, periodical table of religious losers is what they were. They knew enough just about God to get them in trouble. They thought they were dealing with some normal person, but they got one thing right. They were dealing with God, amen. Hey, you don't think I can save that boy? What's this? Pick up your bed, son, and going out the door. Woo! All of you go, ha. Huh. Those religious scribes go, whoa. What? Yeah. I can't only, not only save him, I can heal him. Good stuff, isn't it? Yeah, preacher, make good preacher, because you should live it every day with an expectation God wants to use you to reach somebody. Don't be a hinderer. Don't be in that area, because that's the wrong area to be in. Amen. 48 months. My wife would go and give that to him on Saturday. And about 4 years in, I'm driving back and just kind of yakking at the mouth from visitation. I said, Sandy, you think that boy, that old man will ever get saved? He won't come to church. She says, Danny, I'm praying for him. I said, well, you're wasting paper if you'd ask me. He's been out of 4 years. Good night. Let's move on to somebody else. He's Noinoy's grandpa. Noinoy's mom comes every Sunday. Noinoy comes every. The cousins come. The whole clan comes but him. And you know, it's got to affect him. Well, I don't think it is. I mean, you could go, let's go do something else, you know. She said, no, let's give him a few more months. I married a good one, preacher. I want to move on. I want to win the whole holler to Christ, not some guy I met 4 years ago. She never gave up on him. 51 months in, we get a phone call. Preacher, come over to the village. Boo-boo belong me. I mean, I'm sick. They'll belong him. Let me go bugger up. That means he's got a heart condition or something's wrong inside of him. I went over there. He had liver cancer. Eating him up. And Noinoy translated, you know, and she said that my boo-boo, that's grandpa, he wants to boom one time, Mary belong you now. He wants to meet your wife with translators next Saturday. Huh, okay. All right, you know, how sick is he? Well, we don't know, he's just sick. Next Saturday, okay, we'll do that. You know, people, if you stay in the ministry long enough, you try to reach others for Christ long enough. You go where God calls you. He will bring people to you. And this church is in the missions business. Missionaries out there in that hallway all around the world, different personalities, different people, but the bottom line's the same. We have to bring them to Jesus. They're the one to say yes or no. You know, if I can give this thought to you, I can't heal one person I've ever dealt with. None of us want to be a hinderer, but the fourth person in this thing is Christ Almighty. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 11, verse 12. He's driving a narrative. He knows what's happening on that roof. He knows that boy they're bringing him to church. He knows the crowd that he's talking to. He knows the thoughts and intents of their heart. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know if God wants you in missions. You know if God wants you to support missions. You know if God wants you to take it to the next level. It's called faith. The faith of those four young men got that boy where God could save him, Christ could save him. Wow. There's some that hinder this. I'm too old, preacher. It's too expensive. I can't do it. Nope. It has nothing to do with that. It's got to do with this and this. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. As a man purpose in his heart and mind, so let him do it. Christ can heal, can he? Hey, how many remember when you was unsaved? Wow. How bad were you? Oh. I never killed anybody. Paid my dues. Okay, I missed my taxes once. Well, I lied to mom once. Chiefest of sinners, amen. We're all bad. But when we get saved, wow. And Jesus said this, "Son, young man, your sins are forgiven you. And I saved you because of their faith in bringing you here. And you got faith in me. Now, son, these people are all kind of complainative and they got ants and they're these scribes and religious guys. This got enough, you know, sub themselves into, they have no idea what's going on. So you know what I'm going to do for them? I'm going to heal you. Pick up your bed, go on out. Normal legs, normal toes. Well, those toes are normal. He picked up that bed. This all happened that quick. Double take. Is that the same guy? Are you kidding me? Now he's out in the street. Now they're jumping off the roof. This is my imagination. Somebody got saved. They didn't do that. Good night. They're teenage boys, young men. They're stout enough to get on that roof and take it apart. They got some emotion going on. Rah. Amen. Now you listen to this. If there's victory, there's victory. I like the last point. Verse 12, all is used twice. That means they all were amazed. Now, the boy's on top. It's pretty easy. The boy walking out of the bed, he's happy, good night. Felt his legs working for the first time. Them scribes sitting there going, huh. Even they're happy. Jesus is happy. The saved crowd happy. They all were amazed. Now, I know the word happy makes some of you uncomfortable. It's not a sin. When that trumpet blows, who said bingo? The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we go. There they go. See them all. Hey, tell me I'm not going to smile. Tell me. Boy, it's got to be quick. Got to be quick. Twinkling of an eye, because we have feelings in us. Where the earthly feelings sleep, the heavenly. With the memory of the ones that I spoke about, the Kuru this morning. Guys I've witnessed to that said no. Will that come across? I don't think it will. He wipes that thing clean. How many believe all your sins are washed away? How many think all of heaven belongs to you? The streets of gold. I know I got a, I hope you're going to heaven. You got a house, right? I got a house. I'll come see you. I'll bug you to death, man. This is going to be great. I want to see your house. I want to see my house. I want to sit there at Jesus' feet, don't you? Why can't we be happy here? Because the devil don't want that. Makes him mad. You know, if you're helpless today, you need to come to Jesus. If you're in this church and you're not helping, you need to help. Get involved in missions. Be part of it. See the pastor. Support a missionary financially. Pray for them. Emotionally connect with them. Why we're connected, I'm just going to say this because you come to see me in Australia. And you knew me before then, but boy, these people, they're normal Christians. They're good people, man. They like to eat. I'm just saying. And then over here, at the end of the day, you'll be happy that you did the right thing. Well, I got that phone call to go to the village. I got Sandy and got two sisters. One's Ray and the other one's Yang. I called them Ray and Yang, Yin and Yang. And sisters, snarky, so much like me, drove me nuts. They both worked for a Christian school, taught Sunday school and stuff. And so Sandy, this is my Bible I had. See, it's duct tape right there. And that Bible, a lady was going to hit another lady with a machete, and I stopped it with the Bible. And when she saw the Bible, she dropped it. And I took this too. I just can't get rid of it. It's got all the stories in there. So I got my Bible and got in my pickup truck, and Ray and Yang jumped in the back. Sandy jumped in the front, and we drove to the village. Baruni. Got over there, parked at the house. I got my Bible. Now, over there, it's a split culture. Y'all know what that means? You don't, because you're Yanks. All the men sit on this side and all the women over there. And you can try to Americanize it and do a Valentine's thing. It ain't going to work. It's Palestinian-like. Like Jesus' day, too, the men would sit on one side, women the other. I'm just telling you. Well, I never. Well, you will, and that may go to another culture. And so men talk to men. So I got there, and I got to the bottom of the steps to go up to his house, and the boo-boo's up there, and Noi Noi comes down, and Sandy's sitting there with the ladies, nice and petite there, and just sitting there with their arms on the little picnic table, and I'm saying, I'm ready to go win your boo-boo to Christ. She said, oh, musky, Pastor Dan. He don't want to talk to you. He wants to talk to your wife. She does the beans, the bacon, and the baby. I do the Bible. I'm the one. No, he don't want to talk to you, musky. No, I know. I've got to obey my boo-boo. Okay. Honey, he wants you. Here's the Bible. Ray walked by me. She's a better soul winner anyway. Man. You have to know these ladies. They went up there. I'm pacing back. Preacher, I'm mad. You're supporting me to do this. My wife's driving the bus. She's up there talking to that guy. And he, how many of you guys ever got frustrated because God's using someone else? Two of us are honest. Good night. My wife, I could hear her voice get higher through the wall. Ray and Yang start to cry. His voice gets louder. They're translating, praying. I can't get it. It's mumble. I can't get it all. My wife opens the door 45 minutes later, comes down the steps. He got saved. Yang came by. Here comes mouthy Ray. Your wife's a lot better than you are. Man. He got saved. Noi Noi says, oh, boo boo below me, Emmy. Bell, I'm more happy, more yet. They can't, don't have a word for love, but his heart is clean. Wow, that is great stuff. Here, girls, get in the truck. Start the air conditioner. I'll be right back. Man, I went up those steps. Hey, Ray, or Noi Noi, can I? Yeah, come on in. Hey, boo boo, I'm so glad you got saved. He's sitting on the wall. Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Translated, man, I'm glad you got saved. Praise God for you. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, will you do my funeral? Because I'm going to be dead in a few months. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll do your funeral. Man, this is great. Can I ask you one question? Why did you not want me to lead you to Jesus? You're not the one that's been showing me him. Your wife's faith. Adam talked to me more yet. And you're preaching. Whoa. Folks, missions is another culture, another world, another person seeing your faith. The helpless people want help to the healer. When you get to the end of it, there's a happiness that passes all peace and understanding. All God's people said, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, the heartbeat of this church is missions. Winning people to Christ and family. And I pray, Lord, this morning as we start this invitation, I give it over to the pastor, is that, Lord, you'll touch our hearts, that we'll, if we're helpless here today without you in our hearts, that we'll come and trust you as our personal Savior. And Lord, may you touch our hearts to help others in our prayer life, in our personal witnessing life, in our family life. And Lord, we have a faith that lives it out, that shows others. And may we never be a hinderer or a hindrance to the gospel and ministry and missions of God Almighty. And Lord, we get to the end of it. We'll be happy to the fact that we've done exactly what you put in our hearts to do. And may we be that witness for you.